Welcome back to Talkin' Trek, where dad and daughter talk Trek. I'm your host, Bridget Kelly.
And I'm Jack Sparrow.
Oh, dang, I did it again.
Oh, we're talking about pirates today. Yo ho, me hearties, yo ho. A pirate's life for me. Talk like a parent day. Yes, it is talk like a parent day. I'm a parent and I talk like one. So there you go. So no, that's what this episode is about. It's about pirates. So I decided to start off with, I'm Jack Sparrow. Well, one of the more, famous pirates. As pirates go.
We got some space pirates.
We'll be talking about space pirates quite soon.
Which is the subject of our game that we haven't played yet.
What? Oh, that? Yeah, that's true. The Michael game. What's happening with that? Where did it go?
There's a D&D like game that we were going to play over Christmas. And we decided it was going to be about space pirates. And then it took too long to figure out what we were doing and the storyline that we ended up running out of time to play.
That only goes to show you that when you visit at Christmas, you have to spend more time with your parents. About a month. You have to come for a month. We're going to play a game like that, it takes a whole, it takes a month to make a, no, it takes a village to raise a child. No, never mind. I don't know. It takes something.
Yeah, there's no expression for that one.
I said something like that at work the other day and people looked at me like, what?
You got some housekeeping?
Oh, I was going to say I'm Captain Blood. So what's going on? What's new? Anything new? Did you see Miles O'Brien at the store lately?
No Chief O'Brien.
No Chief. Oh, dang. Oh, Patrick Stewart. You saw Patrick Stewart downtown.
No. I don't have any stories there.
You don't have any stories there. Well, the other day at work, we were talking about podcasts because I'm always marketing our podcast. I was talking to some guys and we were talking about other podcasts that we could do. You and I could do these.
Oh yeah.
These new podcasts that
you want to do another one?
Well, we could do. Yeah. Someone suggested a Breaking Bad podcast.
Oh.
And they said, well, you could call it Talking Bad. And I said, I'd rather call it bad mouthing.
Well, Talking Bad was already a show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the Chris Hardwick show. He like after every Walking Dead, he does like a recap episode afterwards called Talking Dead. Bad. Well, right, he did it for Breaking Bad, and it was called Talking Bad.
Well, that's why bad mouthing is good. I'm thinking. It's bad.
That would be for like a Richard Pryor, maybe.
Okay. That joke fell flat. So we're good. Sorry. So, well, let's move on.
Yeah, these are the jokes, folks.
these are just the jokes. Just the jokes. Speaking of just the jokes, I will say this. Shout out to Andy. He listened to a third of one of our podcasts.
You know, Dad, you can lie and say that they've listened to all of them.
I know. Well, some people actually have listened to all of them. Or almost all at this point. And those are our hardcore listeners. Shout out to you, hardcore. But Andy caught me at church tonight when we were walking out and he said, hey, it just sounds like you and your daughter are having fun. And I said,
arguably too much fun.
I said, well, that's the point. I think the point is just Bridget and I are having fun and we're inviting you the listener, into our world. Come, come into our world.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
This is our world, and you're welcome into it. So there you go. So there you go. That's what's cool about a podcast with a dad and daughter talking Trek. So
yeah,
there you go. So
here we go.
Are we ready? We're gonna. Oh man,
yeah, we're
cruising. We are cruising.
Last time
I was looking at, when I was editing the last one, I was going like, wow, we've been just messing around with stupid stuff for 20 minutes. How did we do that?
And that's totally fine. I just really want to talk Trek today, Dad.
Well, yeah, I know. But the last episode four, talking Trek episode four, was really different. Mm-hmm. I think we went like in, I don't know, strange directions. So
it was great. Well, we were talking about our love of movies.
Yes,
we did. Which got me a job this past week where I got to talk about my favorite science fiction movies.
Sweet.
Well, they assigned me them, but
yes, but they were still good.
Yeah, well, I chose 2001, and so I got to speak on camera. You guys will, you know, we'll share it with you soon. But I got to speak on camera and talk about 2001, A Space Odyssey, and which is funny because you mentioned it, I think, at least twice in the last episode of Talking Trek. So, but it was cool because I got to tell them that, like, I grew up in a house where we loved movies, and my dad built a monolith and put it in the backyard. And
yes, I did.
And, you know, he made the computer say, "My mind is going. I can feel it. I can feel it." Whenever you'd shut the computer off. So
I did do that, didn't I? I forgot about that. Yeah. One.
And then they said, they're like, "Man, your dad sounds awesome. Can he come do the show?"
No. No, I don't think so. I had one show at a time for
one show at a time.
One show at a time for dad. So we're in good shape right now. We have a show. We have, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 listeners. We're in good shape. We're in good shape. We're doing great. And you people are special because you listen to this. And
yeah, I mean, you know. To the listeners.
Exactly. Totally special. I love our listeners.
Present or something.
No. We don't promise anything like that. No.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was thinking someday we should have a contest, and the prize would be season 3, episode 4 of Seinfeld. I'll just pull that disc off the shelf, put it in an envelope, and mail it to somebody, and but
then you wouldn't have all those great episodes.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's used. I wouldn't be sending a new one to anybody. You know, we always have a joke at work that if we had a contest, we would, you know, send them the prize would be a very special episode of Blossom.
You have told me that.
But we never really got this that contest going this week on Blossom. So there you go.
That's probably anyway. Okay.
Okay, so we're good. Okay.
All right. Yeah. What episode did we do?
We did. Oh, I didn't write it down. Wait a minute. Hold on.
You do this every week.
It's on the website. I'm looking at our website right now.
You can't remember to say Enterprise season 1.
Yeah, I can say, but I have to say season 1, episode 19.
Yeah, it's episode 18, by the way. Sorry, listeners, if you...
seriously? It's 19. I thought it was 19.
No, I had to...
I'm IMDb in this thing right now.
And then I'm watching the episode and I'm thinking, Man, I hope this is the right one, because this IMDb, is not 19.
IMDb says episode 19. I'm sorry.
Well, Netflix.
I beg to differ.
Well, Netflix, it's episode 18, so.
Oh, well, then Netflix probably skipped one somewhere along the line.
That's
oh, you
weird.
Know what?
If Isn't that weird?
Season one, I'll bet you what happened was Netflix combined the two-parter.
Yes, it's parts
beginning.
One and two.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. See, I'm going by the IMDb rating.
I see. Well, you said 19. You said acquisition, so that's, and you mentioned Clint Howard and
Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, and Neelix. So I figured I was watching the right one.
Oh, I forgot to get my burps out.
Oh, I was just going to burp too. We should have burped together.
That was burp time. Okay, never mind.
We should have done a double burp.
Double burps. Anyway, season one, episode 19, Acquisition. Take it away, Bridget. Tell us about...
I wanted to talk about just Enterprise as a series in general because for me, it's not well known. I don't know how many big Star Trek fans out there, you know, still watched that show. I didn't really watch it because it came out like right when I was in high school. So high school, I guess I wasn't really... It's not like I was going out, but I was probably having slumber parties or something more often, maybe. So I don't know. I wasn't thinking about boys. Yep, that's busy doing that,
thinking
I guess.
Thinking about boys.
So that's why I never watched this show.
And Billy Corgan was not in this show.
Oh man, I had some good talks about Billy Corgan today.
neither was Barry Pepper for that matter.
He wasn't in this show.
If Barry Pepper was in this show, you would have been watching it. I know.
You bet I would.
Oh no, seriously, I know you would.
Shout out to Billy to Barry Pepper, who was
Billy Pepper.
I mix it. Barry Pepper was all up in my locker 8th grade, and then Billy Corgan was all up in my locker 9th grade.
You know, I was thinking about Barry Pepper because I was thinking earlier this week about just what it takes to be a leader. And I know this, we're going like, woo, where did you go, Dad? But I was thinking about what it takes to be a leader, which led me to Dick Winters.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, Dick Winters, what is the quintessential leader?
From Band of Brothers.
From Band of Brothers.
Barry Pepper was in Saving Private Ryan, so that's why
the train of thought went from the best leader I've ever seen or read about was Dick Winters, because he just did it and expected people to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome.
Yeah.
And they did. They were like, he's freaking awesome. We're following him.
Well, unless Peacock or Shames or whatever say, no, we have to wait for the signal.
I know. But see, then it was like, oh man, yeah, that's how I got into that, because Bridget and I bonded over Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
And Bridget liked Saving Private Ryan because it had Barry Pepper.
That was an added bonus. Okay, that was a very important weekend for 14-year-old Bridget, okay? Because Ben saw Green Mile in the theater, and I was like, oh my God, who is this cute guy? And then the next night, we watched Saving Private Ryan. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in love now. But please give me the benefit of the doubt that
I know you like these movies
because it was a damn good movie.
I know you like movies because they were great movies, but the bonus, yeah, bonus, cute Barry Pepper.
Hey, that was a nice bonus.
I get the bonus. Yeah. So, hey, anyway, that was...
He's an Emmy Award winner now, too.
Barry Pepper?
Yeah.
Won an Emmy?
He won an Emmy.
What did he win an Emmy for?
Something.
He did not win an Emmy or an Academy Award, although he should have.
Oscars, but
for Ned. What the heck was Ned's last name? In True Grit.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Ned Pepper. It was Ned Pepper.
Gross.
He was Ned Pepper, not Barry Pepper, but Ned Pepper in the Coen Brothers. And shout out again to the Coen Brothers.
Again. Oh, he won an Emmy playing Robert F. Kennedy.
Oh, sweet. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Robert F. Kennedy, one of my favorite people of all time.
Yeah. Raise a glass.
Raise a glass. It's right. I love that man. Mm-hmm. I wept bitterly when he was gone. And I was a 14-year-old at the time.
There you go.
That's 50 years ago. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm old. Okay, go ahead.
Now this is the time when we all think where about mortality and the frailty of life.
So tell us some more about Star Trek Enterprise.
Okay. I can say, tell us more about Barry Pepper. Okay, so guys.
Barry Pepper. He wasn't in Star Trek Enterprise, by the way.
So Star Trek Enterprise, I never watched because it was at that, I was a teenager. But also, the reason why I love Star Trek so much is because it has that like nostalgia factor. You know, it's something you watched when you were a kid. And yes, I'm finding that I'm also enjoying it as an adult. But I think that was why I have still stayed away from Enterprise, because I don't have a nostalgia factor with that one.
I see.
Oh. But I gave her the old college try.
Yes. And
the first page of my notes is like, but then after a while I was like, all right.
Hey, yeah. And that's really it. You know, this show grows on you.
Yeah.
You know,
that episode definitely grew on me.
At first you're like, what the heck, you know, and everything is really dark. The lighting is dark, but I think that was like a mood thing. I think they were setting the mood.
You know, or they were like, oh, this is older.
Right.
So maybe the lighting technology is not.
Yeah, they didn't really have light bulbs back in, you know, in that Enterprise day. But
yeah, so this show is set 100 years from first contact. And 100 years before Kirk. Yes.
Right. Right.
So it's kind of sandwiched in the middle there. It's like the Vulcans have landed on Earth. They've integrated into society, have made the world a better place.
Kind of.
But
the Vulcans really are a pain in the butt, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right.
A pain in the butt.
Also, I didn't like the one episode I saw before. I didn't really like her, the T'Pol, or is that her name?
Yeah. They're very arrogant. Yeah,
she's like but even Spock and Tuvok have like a little more like lovable quality to them.
Exactly.
I didn't really feel that with her. So.
No. She's pretty stiff and she, you know, so I get that. But the Vulcans of this time are like, they're trying to hold the humans back because they think the humans are stupid.
Which is weird because they landed on Earth supposedly because, they discovered that humans have discovered warp speed, right?
Right.
So they're like, oh, that means that they're smart. They have technology. Let's go meet them.
And then they meet them.
And they're like, oh, never mind. I guess they're stupid.
These guys are morons. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I get it. Oh, another bird.
All right.
And then they spend the next 100 years trying to hold the humans back, keeping them from going out into the galaxy. And a lot of the very first episode has to do with that that whole tension between the Vulcans and the humans. And then they throw in the mix a bunch of Klingons that show up.
Yeah, which I didn't like that it was like the humans are just so mad that the Vulcans are holding them back. And it's like, well, why don't you just get in your freaking textbooks and why don't you figure out whatever it is that you want to know?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Like get back to SpaceX and start doing your research.
Exactly. They should,
just whining about
it. They could have just told the Vulcans, hey, you know, take a hike, which is ultimately what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anyway.
Well, not after the Vulcans helped him out, probably a ton.
Well, they do occasionally
with technology and such, but
so
this is the Enterprise. It's the first ship to hit warp 5, apparently.
Right.
And where is it? Because it's called the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirk's ship is Enterprise A.
No, it's not even A. It's just NCC 1701 Enterprise. I don't know.
So this is Enterprise.
This is like a pre-Enterprise Enterprise. Yeah. Well, you know, there was an Enterprise aircraft carrier. There was an Enterprise, or I think they might even still be an Enterprise aircraft carrier. I don't know. There was an Enterprise space shuttle. So, you know, you can name anything Enterprise you want. There was a sailing ship called the Enterprise. So there you go. There's been Enterprises all down the line, and this was another one. It didn't have to be A, B, C, or D because it wasn't part of that.
It was before they're like, you know what? We're going to make a ton of these. whenever one retires, we're going to make another one.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way that kind of works. They keep naming ships. Sometimes they name them the same name over and
Jenny
over.
Jenny 1, Jenny 2, Jenny 3, Jenny 4. We got all sorts of Jennies.
Took a second.
You were like, Bridge is just talking again.
No. That was a Gump reference, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I got that Gump reference. And I'm going to go to Bubba Gump Shrimp Company sooner or later.
So this is the first season of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Of that storyline.
Yeah. And you know that. Yeah. I'm not even going to talk about when they jumped the shark, but we'll visit that some other time. Maybe we'll just do the episode where they jump the shark.
Yeah. Well, I started, I watched the pilot episode and then I watched this episode so I could get some background on these characters. I still, you know, don't know the characters that well. So I'm coming at the episode from that perspective.
So there you go. So this episode opens with, the Enterprise is adrift, just like floating out in space somewhere.
Okay.
And another spaceship, you know, like comes up and you see these bald headed guys in it and they're talking. Blah, 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 habba, habba, habba. They're talking something really kind of crazy language. And you're going,
Guta guta solo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my guess is they didn't really work too hard on creating an actual language for the Ferengi, but hey.
As specific as Klingon was.
No, not as specific as Klingon or for that matter, Elven.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. But it, you know, it was good enough to make it through a couple scenes and we were happy with that.
Because they hadn't turned on their all the humans on the Enterprise are passed out, we see. So that's why they didn't need a universal translator at that point, because it's just them walking around.
And then we see they were computers all the time. No, they weren't. They weren't computers all the time. We see them. They start taking like silverware. And pieces of pie. I mean, they're stealing anything that isn't locked down.
They left pie. There's like lemon meringue in the kitchen. There's pecan in the kitchen.
There's Picard in the kitchen. No, there isn't.
Okay, so riddle me this though. Were there, why is there a deli case in the lunchroom? Were there were there not replicators at this point?
Oh, no, no. There weren't any replicators back then. There wasn't even replicators on Kirk's ship.
Really? Because that was the thing that, so they in Next Generation, they solved world hunger because they created the replicators.
Well, they solved world hunger before Next Generation, but it had to, I mean, in this show, they did a protein resequencer that would turn your poop back into a chicken sandwich.
Get out.
Yes, that's what, oh, that was the whole thing. It was recycling everything. It recycled everything, even your poop.
Oh, okay, back, I guess.
Turned,
I guess
it back into, turned it back into enchiladas and tacos. So there you go. So there you go. That's the way they did it. So
better out than in, I always say.
Oh no, the Harrises are having taco night again. So that's the way that worked out.
Okay.
So, anyway,
and this is before and so these universal translators are everywhere. Like they
they did have universal translators, but they also had Hoshi. You didn't meet Hoshi, but Hoshi is a character that became kind of
she
was like Uhura, yeah, and she was there because she had a talent for figuring out other people's languages and trying to speak it back to them.
I saw in the pilot that Klingons were not well known at this point at all. Mm-hmm. And yet she knew what he was saying, so I thought that was weird.
She has a special gift.
All right.
And, you know, she's a good character. I like her a lot.
So anyway, so spoilers, we find out the aliens stealing all the silverware are the Ferengi.
Yes, the Ferengi. This is synergy with Next Gen. So and Deep Space Nine, because we had Ferengi on Deep Space Nine.
So that's the thing that also, you know, it took me a while to forgive. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's just interesting because the Next Generation, I watched the whole first season recently. Mm-hmm. And so like the first, season one, episode four, is when the Next Generation Enterprise crew meets the Ferengi and they say that like nobody knows anything about this species except like there's rumors about what the Ferengi are like.
Right.
They don't have anything in their textbooks about them. They don't know anything about them.
Right.
All you know is that the Ferengis, like they talk to them. When they see the humans on the view screen, they're like, oh, we've heard rumors about how ugly the humans are.
Right.
And now we know for sure, you know.
But later on, you find out that the Ferengi were involved in the Stargazer episode or incident that Picard keeps pointing to all his life as like a crazy moment a pivotal moment in his life. And it was the Ferengi that were involved in that.
Right. So when I'm watching this Enterprise episode, I'm thinking, okay, so did they forget that? Or is this the one time when...
Oh, this one
this
started
the only
the rumor.
Thing that is that did this start the rumor? Yeah.
Yeah, this started the rumors because they told him like, hey, if you guys come anywhere within 100 million light years of us, we're going to blow you out of the sky. And so the Ferengi said, well, you know, hey, you know, this isn't a very good place to do business, so we're not going there. That's a cheap explanation for why the Ferengi never showed up again until like 300 years later, 200 mm-hmm. years anyway.
Yeah.
But it is an explanation. And
that's kind of cool.
Lent. It's Lent, so I'm willing to forgive.
Hashtag church reference.
Hashtag Lent. So anyway, so the Ferengi are like pirates, right?
Yeah.
And they're boarding the ship just like Captain Blood. You know, they're just not like running around slashing everybody with a sword, but still they're
they have the decency to just knock everybody out.
Yeah, that was, and they're, what did they first thing they do besides take the silverware and everybody's wallet? They grab the women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they start. I was like, what? There's this, like, and here's the thing about that, though. They had a staging area that was a long way away from the hatch that they put all the stuff in that they were going to put into the show or into the spaceship anyway. So that's where they piled, you know, like 4 or 5 females and, like, you know, photon torpedoes and crap.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're not going to carry this stuff only so far.
We're not going to carry it all the way to our ship. Yeah. We're just going to carry it this far and no further. And that just seemed kind of a stupid plan. But then again, Ferengis aren't really known for their intelligence.
Right, which, so also in the Next Generation, you know, they saw Troy on the bridge and they're like, what? You clothe your women?
Yeah.
Can't you give them jobs? So, yeah, the Ferengi are pretty sexist and are some horn dogs to boot.
Wow, that's a new one.
Hey, you picked the episode. So.
I didn't pick it because of that. Okay, so anyway.
But, yeah.
So everybody's sleeping. They're stealing all this stuff. But who's still awake?
Oh, yeah. So this trip guy is like stuck in the tanning booth. So back then, if you went to another planet, they still had you go into like a decontamination room to make sure you weren't carrying any diseases on board. So at some point they eradicate that, I guess, but this is the beginning of space exploration.
It's the biofilter on the, there's a biofilter on the transporter.
Okay.
That's how they did that.
Ah. And wait, and was I correct in saying that like the pilot episode was the first time they transported a human or no?
They had transported people before, but they just recently on the Enterprise was the first ship that was equipped with a transporter. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So
Trip was in this chamber room when everyone breathed in the gas that knocked him out. So he didn't get to breathe any of that. So he's able to walk around the ship,
In his underwear. I will say this about Star Trek Enterprise. I got to say this about Star Trek Enterprise. They loved underwear scenes. They did that a lot. For some reason, you know, well, ratings, but for some reason they liked to, anytime they could get people in their underwear, they did it.
That was what was funny about the pilot episode is like he and T'Pol are like putting like goop all over each other's bodies. And of course I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me, guys. Really? You needed the ratings that bad? But then I realized the Next Generation, the second episode is the Naked Now when Yar and Data have sex with each other. So I was like, I guess all of the shows did it. Really.
Yeah, well, you know, this is just, you know, an extrapolation of all of that.
It's stuff. Like, please watch our show. Look.
Please watch our show. We're sexy.
We're so sexy.
We have sexy stuff going on.
So he's running around the ship, trying to figure out what's up.
In his underpants.
Oh, wait. So nobody
cares. Captain Underpants, by the way. They call him Captain Underpants. He shows up and they go like, oh, you're Captain Underpants, aren't you? And he goes, yes, that's me.
Close. Wait, so how come he doesn't pick up a phaser? Because nobody carries phasers at this point.
Well, he said, well, they don't carry them around the ship. They have weapons lockers, but he said they were all emptied. By the Ferengi.
Which I missed that line twice because I was distracted by his performance being so awful. And then the second time I watched it, I went, oh, wait, I think I missed something. And I had to go back and listen.
I don't know what it is about.
Who are these guys?
I know. There is something about his character that kind of rubs me the wrong way. Yeah. But hey, nothing. I'm sure he's a wonderful actor. I loved his portrayal.
I bet he does a great Hamlet. But
I bet he does a great Hamlet. You know, him and Tom Hiddleston. Right. But anyway,
so the Ferengis, they're like, ugh, we just haven't gotten enough pie. We need more pie.
Yes, and they go in and steal more pie.
So they wake up the Captain Archer to ask him where all the pie is.
Or something like that. They end up, you know, they wake up the captain and they're going, where's your vault?
Yeah.
Because for some reason, they think that every ship has a vault.
Obviously.
And Captain Archer says, I don't have one. I don't know what you're talking about. And he says, then they go, okay, then we'll leave and just take the women. But then Archer goes, well, maybe I do have a vault. And
classic.
If you let me take you to the vault, I'll share the gold with you. So then they start haggling over how much gold they're going to share in the vault.
Then they're leprechauns.
And then it turns out that, well, they were like, oh, no, we're not going to pay you any of the gold. We're going to take it all and we'll just find it ourselves. So they spend basically 3 out of the 4 guys there. And we should say 3 out of the 4 guys are, one of them was Neelix in Voyager.
Which it just screams Neelix. So it's like, you guys thought you could get away with it.
Well,
we know it's Neelix.
Yeah, it's his acting and so his mannerisms.
That,
and you
he
get
has that voice.
And the voice. Like, yeah, the voice.
No matter what, are you going to arrow? You can just hear it.
Yeah. And one of them is Jeffrey Combs, who, by the way, Jeffrey Combs, hold on. This was part of interesting Star Trek facts.
Uh-huh.
I'll bring it up now. Jeffrey Combs was at one time considered for the part of Riker.
Ah.
And Jeffrey Combs, we all know, was in the great movie Frighteners as the crazy FBI agent, which we mentioned in our last episode, and
he would have been a short number one.
He would have been a crazy number one. That would have been interesting. I don't know.
His voice is also always like this.
I know. I do like the guy.
I didn't notice the first time I watched it, and then when I went back to watch it the second time, I went, oh yeah, he's one of them. And I saw it. Yeah.
I recognize his voice. Oh yeah. Yeah, no, but his greatest role was in Frighteners. Absolutely. His greatest, absolute greatest role I've ever seen him in. He just was like, I loved that FBI character. He was so twisted and sick. It was great.
The worst.
It was great. It was an acting.
Yeah, yeah. No, in tour like de force. In like a they made a great character sort.
It was a tour de France or something like that. So where were we? Archer. Now Archer's stuck. The three of them are running around.
So yeah, Jeffrey Combs is a Ferengini, and the others look for the gold. And so he plays Krem, and Krem stays and has Captain Archer load the ship up with all the goods they're stealing.
Right. Oh, and one and another, and we did mention this last time, Clint Howard plays a pain in the butt Ferengi who's always trying to steal stuff from everybody else because he thinks he's being cheated.
Yep.
But, you know, this was one instance that Clint Howard was in something that didn't involve Ron Howard. But we all know.
Way to go, Clint.
Way to go. You, hey. But that's not a, no, I'm not saying anything about Clint and Ron. I love both of them. We were talking about that today at work, and somebody was and said, well, was Clint Howard in Heart of the Sea? It was another, it's a Ron Howard movie.
Okay.
And I said, I think he was the whale, but I'm not quite sure. He could have been. He could have been the whale, you know, in like green screen with a little balls on him or something.
Sure.
That could have been. He could have been in that. It's possible. I'm not saying it was, you know, I didn't see that on IMDb, but it's possible.
Sure.
So anyway, so we got, so the rest of the show really is mostly Archer loading up the Ferengi ship.
Yeah, that about sums it up for me.
Well, sums it up for me too. He's carrying stuff, but he's like sowing discontent.
Yeah, he's like, man, it must suck to be the guy that just loads stuff all the time. Don't you want to be the boss? And then the Ferengi Krem goes, oh, I guess I do want to be the boss, you know.
But I'm like, just not smart enough. He keeps saying that stuff.
Wah,
like that.
Wah.
Wah, wah.
So Trip finds hypo spray and wakes up the Vulcan and
T'Pol,
and so now they're teaming up and they're making plans.
They're teaming up. They're gonna thwart the plans of the Ferengi. He couldn't wake up anybody else because he ran out of hypo spray juice.
Yeah.
So he couldn't wake anybody else up. So
and they're running out of time.
They sneak out, sneaking around.
Yeah.
T'Pol is a jokester. I did not know this about T'Pol, that she's a jokester, but she was like setting booby traps for the Ferengi. And,
what do you mean?
Well, there was a time when she was like messing around with something on her iPad.
Oh, you mean how, yeah, at one point she like sneaks in and like takes some of the stuff that they're trying to steal.
Right. But she distracted them by setting off some alarm.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? That's, you know, cause they got big ears.
Yeah.
The Ferengi have giant ears, and this alarm was very loud, and so it hurt them. And she knew that.
Uh-huh.
About Ferengi. She just understood that. It was, you know, because she's got big ears too.
Yeah, she's a smart lady.
Smart lady, so she gets that. And so, yeah. And then she sneaks in. She's sneaking around, and she takes some of their stuff. And now they're like, hey, why did you take my stuff? To each other, because they don't know that she's sneaking around.
Yeah, they start fighting with each other. So basically, the big plan is to, make fighting within the ranks. Archer's making Krem be disgruntled. T'Pol's making them all question each other's loyalty. So
now that they're distracted. Yeah, I know. It was a very tight plot. It was a tight. Hey, this is just a good introductory episode
into Enterprise.
Yeah. It was good. It was good in that it didn't like try to do too much.
Yeah.
In an hour.
Yeah.
And it gave Archer. I can't for the life of me, I'm stuck. Who's the actor?
Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula. Yes, it gave.
Did
Scott
you know that you guys were born only like 2 weeks from each other?
Sweet.
Yep.
Oh, he's my age.
Yep.
I look a lot better. But. I've seen commercials with him on. He's like NCIS or something.
Yeah, I think so. Or
Orlando or New Orleans or something like that. One of those NCIS shows. How many of those are there? Like 15 or something.
I don't know.
Anyway, so Scott Bakula, who like acts with his head. I like the way he like throws his head around every time he has to say something. He throws.
He's quantum leaping.
Well, I'm wondering if he is quantum leaping. Maybe
his head is always quantum leaping.
He's quantum leaping to the other side of the ship or something like that. I don't know.
All right.
But anyway,
to wrap this puppy up.
Where are we?
So basically they get,
You're lost. Okay. Trip makes a fake vault. Like deep down in the bowels of the ship.
It's basically Scott Bakula's closet.
Yeah, it is. It's something like that.
He's like, oh, go in there. That's where all the gold is.
Exactly. And so what? So they go in. And who's there?
Paul's been in there the whole time.
Yes. And she shoots them with a phaser.
Not to skip the part where she bumps into Krem, and Krem has the hots for her.
Oh, totally.
So hot.
She Vulcan nerve pinches him, and he's out.
Yeah, and that was the moment that because she's like feeling his ears, and he's like, oh yeah. and then she Vulcan neck pinches him, and that's when I went, yes. So that was the point when I went, oh, that was me just liking this episode.
Oh, really?
I didn't know.
Wow, you didn't know you could, did you?
So that's cool because we've had two episodes in a row now with a Vulcan neck pinch.
That's good. Vulcan neck pinches are awesome.
Yeah.
I did like the scene where they ran it. See, Captain Archer, if you don't know, has a dog.
Oh, yeah, that's for you.
A cute little beagle. The dog's name is Porthos.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. Right. And they find the dog in Captain Archer's quarters, and they start interrogating him.
Well, they're trying to use the universal translator on the dog.
And the dog's just like going, arf!
It's not Sequest. They have a dolphin translator. There's no dog translator in the 20th
century. It's awesome. That's a great scene. I love that scene because they're trying to talk to the dog and they're, hey, you idiot, it's a lower life form.
Yeah.
That's good. But he's such a cute little dog.
And then they put the dog in like a suitcase.
Yeah, I know. They want to take him because they're stealing everything of value, and they figure.
I'm glad they didn't eat him.
Well, no. They thought
Frankie have been known to do such things.
Well, they thought that maybe that dog was Captain Archer's lunch.
Yeah. Well, that was the other interesting thing. So I was reading up on the Ferengi because I was trying to figure out the timeline to see if I was trying to find out if they messed it up or not. But so apparently the Next Generation writers came up with the Ferengi because they thought that was going to be like the main enemy of the Next Generation.
Seriously? That didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. So after they do that episode with Picard, that was when they were kind of like, oh, like nobody cares.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So maybe the Ferengi are not going to be the number one enemy. And then later they came up with the Borg.
And the Borg came up with the Borg after they had those little ant creatures in the ones that were back in episode. Oh, you mean
the conspiracy?
Yeah, in conspiracy, the little ant creatures.
Yeah.
Those guys were going to be like the main bad guys.
Oh, really?
Because they didn't need costumes, but they decided the Borg were going to be it after, I think it was Q that introduced them to the Borg anyway.
Oh yeah.
And Q was like, yeah, but Q didn't.
I don't know, listeners, why don't you let us know?
Well, Q doesn't show up in Enterprise.
Just the facts, man.
Q should have showed up in the Enterprise, but I don't think he did. He should have, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He did show up in Voyager a couple episodes, which we
That's right. I remember that.
You got to do at least one of those.
I remember that.
Yeah, I love Q.
Yeah.
John DeLance was awesome. He's just like one of my favorite actors. You know, he was in one of my favorite movies, The Fisher King.
Yeah, with Robin John Williams.
DeLance. Yeah, with Robin Williams. That's and cool. David Hyde Pierce was in that movie as well.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Niles.
Niles. I know somebody whose name is Niall, and I accidentally called him Niles once. I'm sorry. I apologize, Niall.
You were in denial.
No, it's not just a river in Egypt.
So, all right. I think that about sums it up.
Yes. Well, they kick the Ferengi off the ship.
Yeah.
And they get all their stuff back. Because T'Pol shot him with a phaser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. That's pretty much it. That's let's see. It. Finally, fake ball. T'Pol is waiting. Oh, yeah. Oh. And when this was good. This was good. Okay. This isn't wall of quotes good, but this is good.
Oh, okay.
Because when T'Pol shot the Ferengi in the vault and they fell down on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Trip comes in and says, "Sorry, fellas, bank must be closed today."
Oh,
I
yeah.
I was like, oh, man, is that a James Bond line or what? Like, oh, shocking.
I don't know. That could be wall of quotes good. If I didn't dislike the line so much. Because I remember thinking, like, do they have, like, banks open 8 to 5 in the 22nd century.
Sorry, fellas, banks closed.
Well, my quote for the wall of quotes.
We're at that spot now? Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Was going to be, just because a guy's in his underwear, the worst.
Do it again because I'm sorry, I stepped on your line there. But that was mine too.
Yeah.
Do it again.
When Trip says to Paul, just because a guy's in his underwear, you think the worst.
Oh, that was mine too. That was mine for the wall of quotes. Oh, boom. Hey, if I could give you a high five right now. coast to coast, high five. There you go.
Do you have any other Star Trek facts?
Oh, Star Trek facts? Yes, I do. As while I was messing around and going here and there, it would seem, and it's a non sequitur, by the way, which I think non sequitur is another Star Trek episode. We might have to do that one. But this is a non sequitur. Did you know Patrick Stewart was not Gene Roddenberry's first choice?
Oh,
in fact, he didn't like him. And when I was reading this, I remembered a Nerdist. Shout out to Nerdist. Love you guys.
Chris, I was like, I've listened to that episode, but I don't remember.
Oh, I remember Patrick Stewart talking about how he did Jean-Luc Picard with a toupee and a French accent. And he said, it didn't work. Yeah. It really didn't work out. He said, no, that wasn't working for me.
The final frontier.
He said, no, he said, and so anyway, Roddenberry didn't like him. And the producers, Rick Berman and Justman, they were just like, wore Roddenberry down.
Yeah.
To the point where Roddenberry goes, okay, fine, we'll have him. And it turned out to be
the greatest captain of all time.
It turned out to be, well, no, I don't know if he was the greatest captain of all time, but one of.
Well.
Oh, I don't know. I'm really liking Sisko.
Well, he was a commander.
He was still the guy that ran the
Well, show. Speaking of Picard, it's time for What Would Picard Do?
Okay, I'm dancing.
So I liked that Archer was saying to Krem, you know, was talking to Krem and being and putting in Krem's mind slowly that you know, that he should fight against his, he should fight his cousin, you know, and that, you know, that he was like convincing him of a mutiny. And I thought that was really good. And I kind of thought that Picard would probably try something like that too.
I get it.
Except when he asks Krem to go to the kitchen for some water, Picard would definitely have said, get me some Earl Grey tea.
Oh, yes. I think you're right.
And then
they
would
believe.
Have sat down and had tea and talked.
Hot. Earl Grey hot. Oh, well, that's true. You know, and I wasn't even thinking about what would Picard do while I was watching it. But now that I think about it, I don't think Picard would have acted any differently than...
I mean, he might have acted better.
Well, he would have acted with a British accent, if nothing else. He would have been a little stiffer than, you know, okay. I don't know what it is about Bacula. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I just don't get a captain vibe off of his portrayal of Archer.
Yeah, I kind of got the impression that like maybe he wasn't taking it too seriously, I guess.
Yeah, or
which is fine, but
yeah, it's fine. I mean, yeah,
but and, then you know, it doesn't come across as like I'd follow that guy.
Well, yeah, he's not Dick Winters for crying out loud. Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm not following him into battle because he's like bouncing his head around every time. He kind of seems like he should be more of a, you know, I don't know, a farmer, you know?
Right.
I think he'd make a better farmer.
Yeah.
I love farmers. They're in my family. But
in Interstellar, they take Matthew McConaughey off a farm and then put him in a spaceship.
Well, yeah. I mean, he seems more friendly. Oops, I just bumped my mic. He seems more friendly than a captain should be. Yeah. More familiar, like,
right.
You know, like
he's just
the guy down the road that I meet at the roadhouse for a beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's what I mean by a farmer. I'm saying he's just more, you know, he's not very stiff. He's not very commanding. He's just somebody who, you know, I don't know. He's just one of the Joes.
Yeah.
You know, he's an average guy.
Exactly.
He just happens to be a starship captain, for crying out Pete's sakes. I thought starship captains were supposed to be more forceful, more upstanding, more
well this was know. Maybe they learned from his mistakes.
Maybe they did. It's possible. So
well
we got that. Did we do Star Trek facts?
Yes, you said.
Yes, I did.
You talked about Picard.
Oh yes, I did. That was interesting. Star Trek facts. Okay, and then what would Picard do?
Well, so we need to have a red shirt discussion real quick.
Okay, did you find one that you like?
So nobody died in this episode. So
of course not.
We need to just pick.
Hey, and guess what? By the way, in Star Trek Enterprise, nobody wears red shirts.
Well, so that's the thing. So my friend Nick, who made the opening song for our podcast. Shout out to Nick. He's been listening to our episodes, and he agrees with me that a red shirt does not need to have worn a red shirt.
Oh, seriously?
And
okay.
I looked it up.
Okay.
And I of course didn't get it ready, but if you look up red shirt in the dictionary.
In the dictionary.
It refers to a stock character who dies soon after being introduced.
Oh.
Which means.
Wow.
My yellow shirted security officer counts as.
Okay. Nobody was. Nobody died in this.
Nobody wore red shirts in this series, and in the colors switched in Next Generation. But with that being said, we really want to pay tribute. So, who would you like to pay tribute to?
Oh, I have a red shirt.
Okay, go for it.
I picked one because I liked the way he died. He was thrown off of a cliff in Star Trek, the original series. And so the red shirt that I picked was from a original series episode called What Are Little Girls Made Of?
Oh, brother.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like something a serial killer would say.
Well, yeah, he was one of the first red shirts, actual red shirts. In fact, according to this, he was the actual first red shirt to go.
Who was he?
The first total red shirt, because he had a red stinking shirt on.
All right.
Okay. And his name is Crewman Matthews.
So you're going to say Crewman Guy.
Crewman Guy. He was Crewman Matthews, and he got killed on the planet XO3 and by a giant android who was played by the same guy, Ted Cassidy, who, it's synergy, we're going back around in the circle. Ted Cassidy, who played
the Gorn.
He played Adam's Family and the Gorn. Yes, sweet.
Raise your glass.
Here's to Crewman Matthews. Yes. Moment of silence.
Moment of silence.
Please.
Crewman Matthews.
Quiet. Shh. Be quiet. Don't. Stop laughing.
Okay, great. So, thank you, Crewman Matthews, for all that you've done.
You're 4.5 seconds on screen.
So, I get to pick the next episode.
You do? Wait a minute. I thought our next episode was going to be a live show in front of a studio audience.
Guys, this podcast is really taking off. And we have been doing so well that we get to do a live show for an audience. People are going to be in the audience. And next episode, we are going to have a guest speaker. It's a surprise.
Surprise guest.
Speaker. And we are going to talk about the classic of classics, Star Trek, the original series, City on the Edge of Forever.
Yes.
Season 1, episode 29.
Season 1.
Well,
episode 29.
Well, that's what it is on Netflix. I guess I don't know what it is on IMDb.
So. I don't know what it is on IMDb either, but.
All right. So looking forward to that, Dad.
I am so totally looking forward to that. I've already watched it 3 times.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't rewatched it. I've only seen it like bits and pieces when I was a kid.
I've watched it 3 times and I'm like so totally excited because I realized I'm real fanboying out here. Oh, my God. I'm getting verklempt. It's probably the best Star Trek episode ever stinking made.
Whoa, them's words.
Them's is words because that's the way I feel about it because I watched it and I went, wow, what a tight show. What a great story. The acting was still good.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it, excited to talk about it, excited to have an audience, excited for you to be here live.
So, we're going to be there live.
All right. So, Dad, what do you say we end this thing?
Make it so. We're starting. Okay. Keep On starting. That's my Dory impression.